Many people know the term casa. It's the Spanish word for home. But it can also mean something else, court-appointed special advocate. The Monroe County Casa is home to these special volunteers. They advocate for children going through the court system who are victims of physical or sexual abuse or neglect. A CASA's mission is to make sure the child stays in the forefront of any court proceedings and finds a safe, permanent home as quickly as possible. Now, thanks to an 8-county pilot project called JCAP, Monroe County CASA is deploying child visit monitors to triage 126 children who are waitlisted due to a shortage of advocates. I asked Kristen Bechet, Monroe County CASA's executive director, about the impact of the new volunteer monitors.
Right now, we have 126 kids on our wait list, and before this project, we just kind of monitored them in court, but we didn't have the staff or the capability to really know what's going on in the case, and so the kids would just wait on the wait list for 6 to 7 months. Now, with this triage tool, the higher-risk kids will be on top of the list for a CASA when one becomes available, and while waiting on a wait list, the kids will be seen by what we call a child visit monitor, and that's the new volunteer opportunity. The child visit monitor purely and only goes visits the child wherever they are placed. And so whether it be in foster home or in their own biological home, some are still placed with their parents or a relative's home. Wherever they're living, they go visit them once a month and then fill out a report to let us know how the child is doing and let us know if there are any concerns with the placement or any needs that the child has that needs immediate attention. And so what we're finding is we are able to assign about 70 kids immediately to this project, and we are finding the information we're getting from the child visit monitors is invaluable. A, when we do have a CASA to assign, we have more information to give them so they don't go in completely cold and in the dark. But also, there have been times like we had one case, for example, where the grandparents who are living on Social Security took in their 4 grandkids. Well, they weren't able to make ends meet, and they were saying that if we don't get some financial assistance, then we're going to have to give the kids up because we can't afford this. When it was relayed to us through the child visit monitor, we went into court and said, Your Honor, this is the situation with the placement. They need some assistance, and we were able to recommend that and have the court order it. This is something that DCS would not have been able to do because of their policies, and so that is just one good example of how this is something we would not have known without this new pilot project.
Why would DCS not have been able to address that particular issue?
Because they have a policy that the placement doesn't get any kind of per diem or any kind of help financially unless they are a licensed foster home. And so a lot of these families who are taking in their grandchildren, their nieces and nephews, unless they go through the foster parent training and qualify, then they cannot get a per diem.
How many child visit monitors do you have now?
Well, we have, maybe 35, 40. Most of them are also CASAs, and they have a regular CASA case, but they don't have enough time to take a second case, but they could at least go visit the child once a month.
But someone could be a child visit monitor without being a full-blown CASA, right?
Absolutely.
How does the training for a child visit monitor differ from the training for being a court-appointed advocate?
So we're hoping to create a training specifically for CVMs, which is what we call them, by June. And I think it's going to look like maybe 2 mornings of training from like 9 to 12, and that should probably be sufficient for what they need to do.
You've had more than 100 children on your wait list for quite some time now. How long has it been that your organization has seen its client load increasing?
The past 2 years has been absolutely explosive. So the fact that we have been able to maintain just 126 or so kids, anywhere from 100 to 130 is what we have been averaging, has been amazing because we went from 500 kids 2 years ago to 700 last year, and we're heading towards closer to 800 this year. And so even though our wait list has maintained the same, we're serving more kids. So if you look at our need just by the wait list, it doesn't look like we're making much progress, but that's not the case at all. We just can't keep up with the influx of kids that keep coming into the system. We used to have maybe 65-70% of our families that would come into the system would have a parent, would have an addiction issue. Now it's like 95%. It's not very often we get a family in the system that doesn't have an addiction issue. And we're also finding more older kids coming into the system in these families, not because of the kids using or anything, but the parents are. It used to be that 50% of our kids that we serve were 5 and under, and that's shifted a little bit. Now it's about 40%, and we've got a lot more teens in the system. And I tell you, those are the tough ones. I mean, the teens, you know, they're becoming young adults, and they need guidance, and they need stability, and it's becoming more difficult with that respect. But the opioid epidemic is absolutely a major force behind all of this.
How long does a child typically stay on a wait list before they get an advocate?
Before the triage program, I would say 6 to 8 months, and some can stay on that long still, but the higher risk ones are coming off it much sooner. They could come off it within a month to 2 months.
Are there risk factors associated with staying on a wait list, associated with the delay in getting an advocate?
Yes. The case moves on, and without having a voice in there for the child and informing the court of everything that's going on, the court is being forced to make decisions with not all the information because you don't have an advocate in there giving them all that information. Kids can be harmed while in care, or services are just being delayed. You know, things aren't moving along like they should be if there's not an advocate pushing it from the other end. Kids can be returned home when a CASA would think would be premature if no one was on it to speak up. So, and a premature reunification could very easily cause additional harm and reentry into the system.
Can you give us an overview of the process that happens before a kid gets a court-appointed advocate?
So what happens is the Department of Child Services receives a report that a child is being abused. They investigate and then substantiate all the cases that we get. They have substantiated that, yes, abuse has happened. DCS can go a couple of different ways with a case. They can open what's called an informal adjustment, which means the parents are being cooperative, the abuse wasn't that severe, and they don't have to have court coercion to open a case. We don't see those cases. The cases that the abuse is severe and or the parents are not cooperating in services, they take those to the court, and all of those cases, the court assigns us to those. So already it's probably been a couple of weeks to a month that they've been investigating, and it's possible that the kids have been removed already and put in foster care, or they could be in a relative placement. Some have been remaining in the home with intensive services, but usually by the time the CASA is involved and appointed, the child has been placed where they're going to be placed.
Are all of your clients in Monroe County?
No, because of the shortage of foster homes and or because they're placed with relatives outside the county, or they can be in residential treatment. So they can be anywhere in the state. Most of them are in Monroe County or maybe Lawrence, you know, or surrounding counties. But we have probably about 25% that are a couple hours away.
So back to the child visit monitor opportunity and volunteering in general.
We trained more CASAs last year than we ever have. We trained 40. The problem with any volunteer network, you train 40, but you might lose 20. And people leave us for various reasons, health reasons. They move out of town. They've gone on to different interests, you know, many different reasons. But we're hoping that this new position will kind of break down some barriers of why some people say they don't want to volunteer for us. A, the time commitment is intense to become a CASA, but also the emotional toll it can take, or going to court or writing reports. And the child visit monitor doesn't do any of that. They just simply visit the kids and then fill out a report form that is required. And so we're hoping that people who are timid about volunteering for CASA can start this way and maybe get their feet wet and then maybe become a full-fledged CASA as well. And that has happened. One of the people who joined our training this past February purely to become a child visit monitor, at the end of the training, he came to us and he said, I can't just be a child visit monitor. I've got to be a CASA. And Bloomington has so many different volunteer opportunities that it's hard for people to choose which passion they want to devote their time to. And being a child visit monitor, because it's only one visit a month type thing, they can do other opportunity, you know, other volunteer work as well.
Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
If they've been thinking about becoming a CASA, this is a great gateway into the program. It wouldn't be extremely time-consuming. You would be making a very significant and impactful difference in a child's life, and it could give you a taste of what it would be like to be a CASA. They would just be having another caring and rational set of eyes on these kids just to make sure that they're safe until we can get full services in there for them. If they want to apply, please do, and go online to MonroeCountyCASA.org and fill out the application and send it in to us with a note that they're interested to become a child visit monitor, not a CASA, and we will be calling them immediately after it's submitted.
For WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.